Jesus said that he said, my joy I give unto you, not as the world gives. And no one will take that joy from you. And I think sometimes as Christians, we've got the duty down. We've got all kinds of other things down. But do we have his joy? No. Do we allow his joy to rise up in us? Do we allow it to set us free? Do we allow it even to make us dance, even in our homes? Jesus said, my joy I give to you, not as the world gives. Nobody will take it from you. So how about in the days to come, if joy hasn't been a part of your life, start seeking the joy of the Lord. Because the scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want strength in God, look for his joy. Look for his joy. You know what? God sings over you. He takes joy over you. He sings. When he looks at you, he sings over you. He thinks you're absolutely wonderful. He gets a kick out of you, actually. And he's here to draw us close. Now, I'm going to be talking today about the prophecy that we received recently. And it was that the church is well rooted. Now, this is good news. It shows that we're in a good place. The church is well rooted, and now is a time to bear fruit. And my heart just went, yeah. Because God had already been dealing with that on some of our hearts already about fruit coming. And so then I said, okay, Lord, you're saying here that it's time to bear fruit. Does that mean we have to dig a foundation again of good works towards God, love for his word, all of this? And I don't believe so. I believe that we are in a good place with God, that we are reading his word, that we are pressing into Jesus, that there is fruit there, that we are praying and that there is fruit there, that there are those of us that are telling others about Christ, there is fruit there. So that fruit is present, and that comes from that being deeply rooted. But there's another fruit coming, and we can become ready for it. Set our sail to catch the wind, because the wind of God is starting to blow already. We're already seeing a couple of miracles happening around us. And if we set our sail, we can catch the wind of God. And that's what I'm praying today, that as I preach, as I speak, I mean, that we will catch the vision that God has for us. And that we will set ourselves in a position to catch that wind of God, that we will move into the fruitfulness that he has planned for this church and for the church general, British Columbia, even Canada. And that is the fruit of such a deep, powerful relationship with God, that he flows through us, that he gives us the vision that he has, that his word takes root in our hearts, that we catch fire, and that we'll start speaking that word, and he will confirm it with signs and wonders following, and people will see God moving in a powerful way. Those out there will see the fruit of this, and they will want to know who this God is, and they will come to know him. So it will bring in salvation, bring in healing. This wind is coming, and we can set our sails to catch this wind. And that's what I'm praying today, that somehow in my words, that God will help us to catch the wind, to set ourselves, put ourselves in the position to catch the wind. There's more to this life than what we have right now. God is calling us deeper. He's calling us deeper. He's happy with us. We're doing good, but he's calling us deeper. All right, so let's just say, I'm just going to run back this again. If we are doing what we're supposed to do, and that is fulfilling our part with God in these areas of love toward God, love and obedience to his word, kindness towards others, commitment to him, to obey him. Jesus' love language is obedience. Okay, so if we're doing this, we're already bearing fruit. It's in our DNA. But there's more fruitfulness coming. It's a different dimension. It's a power, walking in the power of God. I think I'd like that. I think we're getting ready for it. We haven't had a revival for a while now, a refreshing for a while now. And it comes with fresh vision, and we can open ourselves up to that. So what does God mean when he says it's time to bear fruit? I do believe this fruit is different than what we're seeing now. On a bigger scale, in a completely different way, where God will show himself powerful through his church. We will get to see God in action. And I believe he's calling his church to prepare for action. that it's time for his church to begin walking in the supernatural. And I'm reading notes so I don't get carried away at this moment. And the glory of the God will soon be seen in tangible and visible ways for the purpose of bringing others into his kingdom. When the message of salvation through Christ came and lit the disciples on fire, the fire of that message carried them through persecution. It carried them to all parts of the country. And through the fire of that message, God confirmed that word with signs following, and people were swept into the church in amazing numbers. And the church was built. With every revival that came, God brought a message, the message of holiness, the message of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the message of renewal. And with that message came this powerful, it caught the hearts of people and it caught fire in them. And they were so full of the power of what God was saying at that point that when they spoke, God moved. Fruit happened. And fruit happened out there because fruit happened in here. And if we, as we move closer to God and deeper with him, and as his heart and his life catches fire in us, fruit will happen in us. And then from that, fruitful will happen out there. So it won't be something we're going to try to work up. It will be a result of God's power working in us. Okay. Now, I believe by his grace, this is by his grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say grace, there was a message that went around a number of years ago that said, and it only took a little piece of the message of grace and blew it out of proportion, left out everything else. And the message was that God will love you no matter what. You don't have to do anything for him. He will love you. Even if you sin, he will love you. He'll never give up on you and all of this. So it caused license. It caused, well, I don't have to worry about walking right with God. He loves me. No matter what I do, I'm still going to go to heaven because he loves me. And, well, I'm going to do the full message, or part of the full message of grace right now, so that you'll understand the error in that. Because when God loves, he loves in a balanced way. When Paul, and I use the Apostle Paul because grace appears, the word grace appears 114 times in the New Testament. When Paul spoke, he said, by grace he was saved. And by grace you are saved through faith. Grace is the an overabundance love of God poured out to you, that he sought you out and he drew you to himself, and it was up to you to say yes or no. We said yes, we're here in his kingdom. Then by grace what God did for Paul was he changed him. He revealed himself to him. He retaught Paul so that Paul understood it wasn't by legalism and rules, regs, and rituals that you got to know God, but it was through the God's son, Jesus, and his love poured out in us. And as we moved into relationship with him and committed ourselves to him and walked in obedience to him, that everything else would make sense and come true. So God gave Paul the message through his grace. Then God equipped Paul, because miracles were performed. By grace, those miracles were performed. By grace, Paul said, we received the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it's provision. It's empowering. Grace is overcoming. Grace is God's ability working through us to do whatever it is he requires us to do. So when he says something, he pours out his grace and ability on us to perform that task. That's grace. That's the fullness of it. And it's evidence of his love for us. Grace also causes favor to fall on us like a shield. Just as it did with Paul, he had favor on him so that when he went out and spoke, even in the face of intense persecution, the favor of God was on him. People heard him. We have that. As God pours out his grace on us, we walk in all of this. We walk in his gifts. We walk in his favor. We are empowered. We are strengthened. And no matter, even if we're going through a rough time, God said, my grace is sufficient. My comfort is sufficient. My strength is sufficient for you. I will strengthen you through whatever you're going through. I'm with you. I'm with you. Now see the beauty of this. Why would you want to sin against that? Why would you want to sin against that great heart that is pouring out so freely all of these gifts and all of this beauty on you? Why would you take that message and pervert it so it's okay to sin? That's as bad as my husband loving me so completely and me sinning against that grace by running around on him. Because also there, the other half of the message of grace is this: God is a loving father and he will discipline the son that he loves. That means if you figure you can sin in the face of God and disobey him, you will come under his discipline at some point. If you don't listen, he will allow you to start reaping the consequences of your actions, even going into prison to the condition you're in until you repent. That's love. That's the balance of grace. So when I talk about grace, it's not the greasy grace of the old message that no matter what, it is God loves you, and yes, he loves you, but he loves you as a good father. He's got plans for you, and he will complete his work in you, even if it's disciplining, if necessary. Calling us to repentance, if necessary. Calling us to accountability, if necessary. The fullness of grace is so balanced, but the beauty of it, and the joy of it, and the strength of it, and the equipping of it is there. So when I mention grace, and whenever we pray grace over some, we're praying all of that. There is an immense amount of power in grace. And it is by grace I am praying that God will take the message I'm trying to speak, but he will speak it through me, that he will take that message into our hearts and cause it to catch fire in those that he's moving into this next move of God. There is so much more to this life. I didn't look at the time now. I got 20 minutes, I guess. It will need to be fought for. It will need to be fought for. This, when God wants this, he said, he's calling us deeper. Do you think he's going to make it easy? He wants to know if we're committed. We grow through what we go through. As we press into God and we have to beat back some of our own insecurities and thoughts and our own distractions or the enemy's discouragement or the religious spirit's stuff to tell us that, no, you don't deserve this. As we start pressing in deeper to God and the discouragements try to come, we keep pressing deeper into God, we will gain strength, we will gain perseverance, we will gain God in a deeper, more profound way. All right, I'm going to back up a little. I believe that God is going to cause his people to hunger after this move that's coming, and that we need to put ourselves in the position to receive it. That we need to seek deeper revelation, deeper relationship with it, and the fruit of that will be discernment, wisdom, and the greater grace to feel the heart of God in ways that we haven't explored before. It'll come as fruit from seeking. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:25-26, he said, I don't beat the air when I'm boxing. I have purpose and I have focus in what I'm doing for God. I don't run aimlessly, but I run with purpose. What God wants us to do with him now is start to seek him and walk more deeply with him on purpose. With purpose, with a determined heart to not only seek him and walk more deeply with him, more close to him, but with a purpose that we won't stop until we're there. That's what Paul did. He said, I buffeted my body. Now that man picked up his broken body. You can read his story, how many times he was beaten. And when you're beaten with rods, that's breaking bones. And when you're hit with stones, that's breaking bones. And he picked that broken body up by the grace and the power of God, and he kept moving because his focus was God and his church. And he didn't let anything stop him. There's much more to this life, like I said, but it'll need to be fought for. It will take some focus and effort on our part, and we need to ask ourselves, are we just going through the motions and doing what we figure God wants? Are we just going through the motions, reading his word and praying and worshiping him? Are we expecting something? Are we just doing this hoping something will happen? Or do we have focus? Are we expecting something to happen? I think sometimes we're waiting for God to do something when he's waiting for us to be willing to press in and fight for the life that he's promised for us. And we're going to talk about that life. God has an inheritance for us, and we will need to resist the enemy to walk into that. When we pray, when we read the word, when we seek the Lord, God wants us to expect something to happen. That what we do for God, what we do in seeking Him, in reading His Word, in worshiping Him, in praying, that what we do will make a difference first in us and then through us. We need to put expectation to our service. And this is when I put the brakes on one day. I read the Word a lot. It is a passion of mine just to study it, break it apart, put it back together. I'm not reading fast. I'm reading very slow, and I'm analyzing it. I really want to see what God's saying in there. I spend time with God, and it's what I do, okay? I'm not bragging on anything. I'm just telling you what I do. And I pray a lot. One day I went, hey, I'm not getting where I... Something's wrong here. And I believe it was God saying, you don't have expectation. You're being obedient and you're waiting for something to happen, but you don't have expectation. And I looked at this situation and I thought, Lord, I'm seeking you. I should be changed by you. I should know you better. I should be able to hear your voice better. All of these years I've been seeking you, but I'm not where I want to be. And it was like, I think he called me to say, why are you there? Why aren't you pressing into me until you know my voice, until you feel my presence, until you understand my heart? Why aren't you expecting to hear my voice? Why aren't you expecting? It's me talking about here, not you guys. You're all doing this. All right, so that's when I thought, okay, Lord, there needs to be fruit on what I'm doing. There needs to be fruit coming from my pressing into you. There needs to be fruit coming to me of a deeper revelation of who you are, so that my mind can be open to you, Lord. You're real. I remember saying to myself once, either Jesus is real or he's not, and if he's real, he's a person. If he's a person, then I should be affected by his personality. Like Job said, I heard you with the hearing of my ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you. I'm not seeing you the way I need to see you, Lord. If either real or you're not, I am going to see you. I'm going to get to know you as a person. God incarnate, Jesus, came to earth, showed us who the Father was. He talked with them. He walked with them. He laughed with them. They felt his essence. This is available to us and part of our inheritance to walk that close with him and to expect to start walking that close with him and set our sails and say, well, where do I need to be, Lord, to walk with you this way? So that you are central to my life, but I want you to be central to my life so that I'm actually moving with you, for you, by you, and that your fruit is bearing life, coming to life in me so I can walk in that. Other people can see you, Jesus. Same with the Word. I've read it 30 times back and forth, cover to cover. I've torn it apart. I've studied it. And I said, I need fruit on this. Lord God, finally, he said, why aren't you asking for fruit on this? Why aren't you expecting it to transform you? Why aren't you pressing in till it does transform you? Because it said we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why aren't you seeking this? So it's like, breaks. Okay, you pray, but why don't you stop praying? You've already prayed. I've heard you. Now watch over that prayer and start praying grace over and expect fruit on it. Expect something to come from your prayer. Expect something to come from it. Call for something to come from it. Does that make sense? Expectation. Hunger. God wants us deeper, but this is how we get there. Through expecting something to happen. And not letting anything stop us. Persevere in determination. Because God says this. He said, a laborer is worthy of his hire. God does want to reward us. He does want to bless us. And the reason why he wants to reward us with his presence and he wants to bless us is so that his personality will so affect us that we will be so changed by it that when we're speaking his word, his anointing is flowing out of us and he's confirming it with signs and wonders and people will come into the kingdom, we will bear a greater degree of fruit. Not just the fruit of duty, but the fruit of expectation and power and love and life and hope and peace for the hearts of others that are looking for it. And the reason why I can say this is what would happen in my life by way of good fruit born in me as I seek our relationship with God and Christ. Should I expect to be changed? Yes. God said, if you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Not going to be easy. We will gain strength in the battle we face to pull in close to God. Our determination will be tested. Are we willing to sacrifice ourselves to do this? Is he worth it? Is his love worth it? I want my mind renewed by being touched by him. I want to see Jesus in a very real light. Since I've been doing this, I've been hearing his voice. He's spoken to me more clearly than I have seen him speak before. And my life has been changed in a couple of profound ways just by him speaking. Because when he spoke, snap, the grace came to do what he told me to do. Entering into worship. I can enter into worship here. If you see me grinning like a fool, it's because now I'm deeply, deeply worshiping God. I don't need to sing anymore. I'm right in his presence. So I'm going to sit there and grin because I'm so there. But that's by his grace because I've pressed in and he's finally answering and the fruit's there. You see? If you search for me with all your heart, I will be found of you. Lord, what can I do to put myself in the place to see this fulfilled? How can I set my sail to catch this wind? Now, the religious spirit, the agent of Satan, will discourage us and put us off, but it's God's will that we will experience his presence, and since this is his idea, that we draw close, and if we do, he will manifest himself, and let's expect him to. It's his idea. Not about our worthiness. It's his idea. God also says he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Remember, this is by grace. As we start moving towards him, if this catches fire in you, that's God putting that in you, okay? Then he will give you the grace, his power and ability to follow through. We want this, we're going to see God's church bearing fruit. As God's people start expecting something from him and start moving in that expectation and their lives start to be transformed by this, you watch. The anointing that's going to fall as the word starts to burst forth and come alive in them. And as they start speaking that word out there on the street, you watch. God's confirmations will start happening and you'll see that this church is going to bear fruit. Time for fruit. Let's get ready. So what is the reward that God said? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I'm going to turn my little rig on now. I've got two scriptures that are key, and one is Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 14. This is the reward. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying and asked God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. So I press into God. I get to expect him to fill me with the knowledge of his will. That's my expectation. If I'm not getting it, where do I need to be, Lord? I know I need this. And I want to thank you that you promised it to me. It's part of the inheritance. Well, go for it. Through the wisdom, now this comes through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So the Holy Spirit will work with God and give us the wisdom and understanding as we press into God. In order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord to please him in every way, and this is the key, as we do this first part, this is what will happen. We will live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, isn't that so cool? Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might. That, and the result again, is that it'll result in the fruit of us. We'll have great endurance and patience. And we'll be giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in his inheritance. Look at the abundance God has promised, and sometimes we fall short because we don't expect it. We don't expect to receive it. We don't look for it. We don't say, this is something you promised me, Lord. I'm expecting it to happen in me. As I continue to seek you, I'm expecting this to happen in me. Ephesians 1:17. We pray that the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, may give you a spirit of wisdom. Again, as I'm seeking God, I'm going to expect to receive from him a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. So he is going to give me more understanding of who he is as I seek him. That can be my expectation, and I'm going to go after it, because that's where the equipping is. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, therefore, so then as I'm continuing to seek him, his Holy Spirit will enlighten my heart and give me understanding of who he is, what he wants, and where I stand in the midst of all of this. We will come into the abundance of God. He said he would do this. Let's look for it. Having the eyes of our heart enlightened, that we may know what is the hope to which he's called us, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us. We're sitting in power. We're sitting on a humming dynamo. If we can touch God, we will see that power start to move. And it'll move in us first, so fruit in, then fruit out, fruit in. If we don't expect fruit from our service, how on earth can we serve? But when we're changed and the fruit of all of this is in us, serving out there won't be a problem. That's 19 is, he will show us what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, and it is according to the working of his might. God's doing this. We just put ourselves in the position to receive it. And it's the same power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is named. So, can you see what our expectation can be and what can start happening to us and in us as we expect these things to start happening as we seek God? These will start happening. And so if it's not happening, Lord, where do I need to be? These are your promises. This is my inheritance. Let's go. What about reading God's word and walking in it? I think there's a lot of frustration in simply reading the word with no expectation of God working through it. We get bored. I mean, after reading the Bible 30 times cover to cover, I kind of knew what was coming next when I read it. So I study it and I take apart commentaries and different other things to try to go deeper, but I wasn't expecting the changes. When I started saying, I need fruit on this, Lord, I'm not going anymore until I start seeing fruit on this. Show me where I can go so that I can start seeing your fruit working in me so I can be changed and transformed by this. My mind can be renewed by this. I'm not stopping till I get that, Lord. Then reading the word took on a different, there was a surrender to God and a leaning into him, but it took on a different timbre because then I started looking for the changes in the word. What was it saying to me? How do I apply this? What is the heart of God here? What is he saying to his people? How can this change me? What am I thinking? It's different than this. How do I align myself? Holy Spirit, help me to align my thoughts with you. God wants us to start expecting him to do this in us, these changes. Lord, I want your word and your spirit to really make a difference in my life. This is our prayer. Can be our prayer. Lord, I need your perspective and the knowledge that you have to free me from my own limited thinking. Take me into your realm of possibilities. Take me into your realm. Get me past my own head, Lord. Let this mind be in you. I can have your mind, Lord. I can have your thoughts, Lord. Let it be in me. We serve God because he's God, but we also serve him for our good. So why not get the good he has for us? He wants to feed us with the finest of wheat because well-nourished people move in his ways fluently. Let's start expecting God to do this. Let's start praying into it and reaching out for it. It's time for another move of the Holy Spirit. It's time. It's time. God said it's time. The fruit's coming. Let's be ready for it. Let's set our sail to catch that wind. I believe there'll be a fresh approach brought on by God coming, a message that we'll get our teeth into that will carry with it the anointing that will break the yoke, both in us and in those in whose lives we touch. Let's be ready for it. And one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forget about the failures. Forget about the frustration. Leave that behind and press on. Press on. Press on. Go into prayer expecting results, expecting fruit. When you worship God, expect to meet with Him. Expect to be touched by Him. Expect to be changed by Him. When you read His word, expect your life to be changed and Him to bear fruit in you. And you watch Him move. That's all He's been waiting for. He's taking us deeper. Father God, I want to thank You for the power of Your word. I want to thank You that Your love draws us deeper still. That this is done by You in us and we just follow after You, Lord, and You will teach us and show us how this works. Each one of us, it'll be different, Jesus, but You're going to have the same result. As You bring us deeper still, we're going to see these beautiful things that You promised starting to come to pass in us. And we are going to be able to take those gifts out there and show them to those that need them, Lord God, and help them to take them as well. We're going to see, Jesus, Your word transforming us. We're going to see us thinking and seeing and relating through Your mind and Your understanding, that Your love would flow out through us, Jesus. We're going to see that when we pray, we'll know how to pray, first of all, and then we'll hit the answer, Lord God, and we'll see it, and we'll stand firm for it. And in Jesus' name, Lord God, we will not let anything stand in our way. I don't care what comes at us, Lord God. I am praying that we will have the determination not to move to the right or to the left, but to pursue You until these things happen. And to have that expectation as it's planted by You to know how to follow through on it. Jesus, we're looking forward to Your next move, and this church will bear fruit. You said it's time. We're setting our sail to catch that wind. We want to be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.